John chapter 5 and verse number 1. After this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there is at Jerusalem by the sheep market a pool, which is called in the Hebrew tongue Bethesda, having five porches. In these lay a great multitude of impotent folk, of blind, halt, withered, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at a certain season into the pool and troubled the water. Whosoever then first, after the troubling of the water, stepped in was made whole of whatsoever disease he had. And a certain man was there, which had an infirmity 38 years. And Jesus saw him lie and knew that he had been now a long time in that case. And he saith unto him, Wilt thou be made whole? The impotent man answered him, Sir, I have no man when the water is troubled to put me into the pool. But while I'm coming, another steppeth down before me. Jesus saith unto him, Rise, take up thy bed, and walk. And immediately the man was made whole, and took up his bed, and walked. And on the same day was the Sabbath. The Jews therefore said unto him that was cured, It is the Sabbath day. It is not lawful for thee to carry thy bed. When I read that this afternoon, I just wish I had a ball bat to take to somebody's head, don't you? Amen. Jesus is working. A man's been in this shape for 38 years, and they're going to gripe because he's carrying his bed on the Sabbath day. The Bible said here, he answered them, He that made me whole. Well, the Jews said therefore, verse 10, unto him that was cured, It is the Sabbath day. It's not lawful for thee to carry thy bed. He answered them, He that made me whole, the same said unto me, Take up thy bed and walk. Then asked they him, How many believes before they ever asked this question, they had a good idea? Oh, yes, amen. They had a real good idea of who had done this. Jesus had already built up a reputation among the people. Then they ask him, What man is that which said unto thee, Take up thy bed and walk? He that was healed, he wist not who it was. For Jesus had conveyed himself away, a multitude being in that place. Afterward Jesus findeth him in the temple, and said unto him, Behold, thou art made whole, sin no more, lest a worse thing come unto thee. The man departed and told the Jews that it was Jesus which had made him whole. Therefore did the Jews persecute Jesus and sought to slay him because he had done these things on the Sabbath day. Pitiful. I'll get to this after a while, but it's pitiful. But Jesus answered them, My Father worketh hitherto, and I work. Therefore the Jews sought the more to kill him, because he not only had broken the Sabbath, but said also that God was his Father, making himself equal with God. If correctly read, that's the first 18 verses. I'd like to tackle this tonight with the help of the Lord. Please pray for us. Father, tonight I thank you for the privilege to stand here at Bible Way one more time. Thank you for each heart, Lord, that's gathered tonight around the Word of God. God, you said over there in the latter part of the book of John that if all the things were written that Jesus did, I suppose the whole world couldn't contain the books that would be written. Then, Lord, in another verse you said, But these are written that you might believe. God, would you increase our faith this evening? Would you help us to glean, Lord, from this story, truth, that just be a blessing in our lives. And Lord, make our lives a blessing to others along life's way. Lord, I ask you now, in Jesus' name, to do the work that needs to be done. In thy name we pray, amen and amen. I think if I were going to put a subtitle on this tonight, under "That You Might Believe," it might be this: Can You Believe That? I want you to look at the story with me tonight and see some things that really, I think, there should be a parallel in many of these areas in our own life. I want to say this in the onset of the message tonight. There are those that I've read after that don't believe this man was saved. They believe he got physical healing, but they don't believe he got spiritual healing. I just want to say this. I don't know for sure, but let me ask you this. How could Jesus tell him to go and sin no more if he didn't get saved by the grace of God? That's an impossibility. Say amen. And I believe when you look at the story that it's quite possible that this man's condition was a result of something that he had done in his life. That maybe he was being judged of the Lord some way for that that had went on. I'm not sure about that. But I do know this. Every word of God is given by inspiration of God. And God wants us to look tonight and see some things that I believe should excite us and help us as we look at this man that actually was healed this day. The first thing I want to look at, can you believe that, is look at the place. Can you believe that about the place where this happened? The Word of God said there was a feast of the Jews and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. This is just a small thing, but in the Bible, I think it's important to realize that whenever you went to Jerusalem, you were going up when you were going to that holy city. You didn't go down to Jerusalem, went up to Jerusalem. And I want to say this, when you go where Jesus is, you're always going up. Amen? And Jesus goes up to Jerusalem for the Feast of the Jews. And the Bible said there was in Jerusalem by the sheep market a pool. I studied this out. This is the only time in the Word of God that it's called a market. Most of the time it's called a sheep gate. The sheep gate in Jerusalem. I don't know that that's real important, but I've just given that to you as a matter of information. It's a place. And there's a pool here called Bethesda. The Bethesda, the word Bethesda means house of mercy. How many believe God is about to have mercy on this man here at the pool of Bethesda? I was thinking a while ago as I was reading the scripture, beloved, that God has a plan for every life. And the Word of God, you know, it's amazing to me, but there's a multitude of people laying there. That's what the Word of God said, that are gathered on those five porches. I believe Bethesda is the house of mercy, and I believe five in the Word of God is a number of grace. And you get to mixing mercy and grace together, amen, and business is about to pick up. And the house of mercy, having five porches. I read this, and I thought it was good. And you think about this and this man. Someone said our life is like the dial of a clock. The hands are God's hands, passing over and over again. The short hand of discipline and trial and the long hand of mercy. Slowly and surely the hand of discipline must pass and God speaks at each strike. But over and over passes the hand of mercy, showering down 60-fold of blessing for each stroke of discipline or trial. And both hands are fastened to one secure point, the great, unchanging heart of God's love. Amen. I believe that's important to see the grace of God in the story. As someone said, when a person works an 8-hour day and receives a fair day's pay, that's a wage. When a person competes with an opponent and receives a trophy for his performance, that's a prize. When a person receives appropriate recognition for his long service or high achievement, that's an award.
But when a person is not capable of earning a wage, can win no prize, and deserves no award, yet receives such a gift anyway, that is a picture of God's grace and unmerited favor. This man could not do anything. Amen. He was completely helpless. But along came the one, the Lord Jesus, that could help him. Now, I'll give you this tonight. When he found us, we couldn't do anything either. We were dead in trespasses and sin. One man, I think, oversimplified the work of salvation. And I understand the point that he was trying to make. But there was a wise preacher standing around. And one man said, getting saved, he said, is as easy or simple as taking a drink of water. That's what he said. A wise old preacher said this. He said, let me see you get a dead man to take a drink of water. That's how he found us. Dead in our trespasses and our sin. He had to quicken us, amen, that we might be under conviction of our sin and that we might have an opportunity to trust him as our Savior. Now, before I move on tonight, what about your place? Do you have a place of mercy? Do you have a place of grace? Do you have a place where you know that right there, you listen, I could take you, I don't know if they, I know they've changed the interior of the church at Landmark Baptist Church, but I could take you within just a couple of feet of where the Lord, amen, relieved me of that sin burden and saved my soul, amen. I believe it's important. A lot of people say, well, I just don't know where it happened. How could God pick up the weight of sin off of you and you not know where it happened, where you were when it happened, amen? Let me just give you this for just a moment. Listen, I want you to listen to me carefully. Let's just take five or six people right quick. If it's real quick, seven or eight. If it's real, really, really quick, we'll do eight or ten. But somebody stand up right quick and tell me the place. Tell me the place and I'll repeat it. That way it'll be on the tape. Orbank Free Will Baptist Church in a Christmas play. Is that right, Brother Ralph? I've heard you testify that. It's okay, Brother Houston? Amen. Lynn Garden Evangelical Methodist Church. Brother Jim? Amen. In a revival meeting. Brother Gary? Where at? Oak Grove Baptist Church. Somebody else? Yes, Sister Joy. I can't hear. At home in her living room. Well, praise God. We finally got one saved that wasn't in church. Amen. Yes, Sister Brenda. Amen. In a revival meeting at Oak Grove. That Bill. Amen. In Sunday school, is that what you said? Praise God. Amen. Jim. Thank God, Brother Jim. Hallelujah. Yeah, Brother. Amen. I thought about Brother Steve. I'll throw his in there. He told us he got saved by the side of the road. You remember that? In that car. He had to pull over. Amen. You say, preacher, why would you bring that out? Well, listen, God put this place in the Bible for a reason. And you ought to every once in a while go back to that place. Go back to that place and hang around that place a little while. Amen. Where the Lord came down and saved your soul. So can you believe that about the place? What about the problem here? Look in verse number 3. In these lay a great multitude of impotent folk, of blind and halt and withered, waiting for the moving of the water. And look in verse number 7. The impotent man answered him and said, sir, I have no man when the water is troubled to put me into the pool, but while I'm coming, another steppeth down before me. I want you to think about the problem. The problem here, beloved, is this man could not do anything to help himself. I do not believe, beloved, that when we get saved, I do not believe we can do anything to help ourselves. All we can do is come to the one, and you can't do that except he's drawing you. Say amen. I believe that. Listen, don't get all mixed up in Calvinism and all that. You say, well, preacher, you said you can't come unless he's drawing you. Well, let me tell you what the Bible said. He's drawing all of them. This is the true light that lighteth every man that cometh into the world, beloved. But listen, when he speaks to that heart, even the sun and the stars and the moons and the creation, beloved, listen, declares the glory of God. And beloved, we can come to him when he speaks. There's a great problem. People are blind. People are waiting for the moving of the water. I want you to think about this. The pool. Look in verse number 4. For an angel went down at a certain season into the pool and troubled the water. Whosoever then first, after the troubling of the water, stepped in was made whole of whatsoever disease he had. Let me ask you a question. Is it any wonder that those five porches are full and that there's a multitude? Let me ask you this. If it was your baby that was about to die, wouldn't you have your baby down there? If it was your husband or your wife or your son or your daughter or your mother or your father, I'm telling you, beloved, I believe they'd be full because there was something going on here. God, in his mercy, the pool of Bethesda would send an angel down. And when the water was troubled, I'm going to tell you something right now. Listen, ain't nobody ever got no help from God as far as salvation until their heart was troubled about what was going on in their heart and in their life. I believe God does the troubling, don't you? In a certain season, he troubled the water. Whosoever then first, after the troubling of the water, stepped in, was made whole of whatsoever disease he had. You say, preacher, I don't understand why the angel didn't trouble it long enough for everybody to get in. Let me just tell you something. His ways are higher than our ways. You say, preacher, will you explain that to me? I will. I can't. I can't explain why this one man, Jesus, come here. Let me just say this. He saw one man. Yes, he did. But you can't tell me he didn't see some others in that multitude. I can't explain it. I don't have to explain it. I just have to believe it. I can't explain to you why he came to me. I know how I lived. I know what I had been. But thank God he did. Amen. He came to where I was about the pool. Look at the man here, this person that's had this infirmity. The Bible said in verse number 5, and a certain man was there which had an infirmity 38 years. When Jesus saw him lie and knew that he had been now a long time in that case, he saith unto him, wilt thou be made whole? You know what I believe? I believe God wants to make everybody whole. But I'm telling you, this man right here, he gives a response. And the man answered, the impotent man answered him, saying, sir, I have no man when the water is troubled to put me into the pool. In other words, he was slow. He said, while I'm coming down, another steppeth down before him. When he starts making his way, he can't get there quick enough. Amen. But somebody else would step down in front of him. Can you believe this? This is put in the Bible. This is put in the book of John. Amen. That we might believe. God wants us to understand, beloved, there's somebody in our community that can't get to Jesus. Amen. And so Jesus is going to have to go to them. Isn't that right? And we can carry him with us. Amen. We can be that light. We can be that salt. We can be that witness that he wants us to be. A certain man was there which had an infirmity 38 years. Let me ask you something. Did the Bible say anything here about this man telling Jesus how long he'd been sick? I read this for years and I always thought it meant that he hung around the pool for 38 years. That's not necessarily true. But the Bible did say he's had this infirmity for 38 years. Amen. I do know that. Well, let me ask, did he ever tell Jesus? He said, you know, Jesus, have mercy. I've been sick for 38 years. You don't find that in the Word of God. Well, how then, when Jesus saw him, watch this now, and knew that he had been now a long time in that case. Let me say this. I'm not changing the Bible, but my God knew that he had been 38 years in that case. The Word of God said he knew it. He said, preacher, how did Jesus know that? We had a young man with us Sunday morning. I got to be careful. I'm just going to say it like this. There's a situation in his life and in his home. And he said to some folks after church, how did the preacher know that? Preacher didn't. But God did. And God sent some mail his way to help him. You want to know why? Because God loves him. Amen? Listen, I sat there as a Christian and God sent some mail. But I can remember the days when I sat there as a lost man and God sent the mail. You would think I'd been carrying the preacher in my hip pocket. God had my number. He didn't need anybody to tell him that this man had been sick for 38 years. He knew, beloved. He knew all about me. He knew all about Nicodemus. He knew all about the woman at the well. And he knew all about this man that had been sick for 38 years. The house of mercy. That's what a man needs. He needs mercy from the Lord. Let's look at God's power. Look here in verse number 8. Jesus said unto him, you know, the Bible's full of different things. God told what, Naaman, go down, dip 7 times in the Jordan River. Isn't that what Elijah told Naaman? Go down and dip 7 times. Jesus just got down before him and took the clay and spittle and made clay and put it on somebody's eyes. Jesus has just spoke. Jesus had somebody, the woman with the issue of blood, touch the hem of his garment. In other words, he's not going to be put in a box. Amen. You can't always tell how he's going to do what he's going to do. But the Bible said he went about doing good. And the Bible said, beloved, listen, that he did always those things which pleased the Lord. So Jesus said to him, rise, take up your bed, and walk. I believe with all my heart, there had to at least be a thought went through this man's mind. And the Word of God said, immediately, look what the Bible said, the man was made whole and took up his bed and walked, and on the same day was the Sabbath. You know what I believe? I believe when a man does business with God and God does business with a man immediately. That, listen, the change on the outside is called sanctification, and that's a lifetime. But the change on the inside is called salvation. And that's a moment in time. That's just a moment in time when someone understands their need of Christ and comes to Him. I want you to see something here. I see the place. I see the problem. I see the pool. I see this man, this person. I see the power of God. But let's look here at the Pharisees for just a moment. In verse number 10, the Bible said, and the Jews therefore said unto him that was cured, it is the Sabbath day. It is not lawful for thee to carry thy bed. Listen to what the Bible said over in the book of Mark. And he said unto them, the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. Therefore the Son of Man is Lord also of the Sabbath. He went on in that passage and talked about David and his men and how that they went into the temple and ate of the showbread because they were hungry. Amen. And Jesus explained that to them. But I'm going to tell you something tonight. I believe with all my heart they were dull of hearing, just like the Word of God said. They were straining at a gnat and swallowing the camel. The Word of God said here, beloved, he said unto them, the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. In verse 11, he answered them, he that made me whole, the same said unto me, take up thy bed and walk. They asked him, what man is it that said unto thee, take up thy bed and walk? He that was healed wist not who it was, for Jesus had conveyed himself away, a multitude being in that place. Afterward, Jesus findeth them in the temple. Well, let me ask you this. What was he doing in there? I kind of want to take issue with these real smart men. I'm talking about smart men. They say this man didn't get saved. Why in the world would you get up from the pool and head from the temple? I don't know. But I believe this. I believe the man got what he needed from the Lord. I don't believe there was any malice when you come on down here and the Bible said he that was healed wist not who it was, for Jesus conveyed himself away, a multitude being in that place. Look at verse 14. Afterward, Jesus finding him in the temple said unto him, behold, thou art made whole. Sin no more, lest the worst thing come upon unto thee. I believe, listen, when Jesus talked about being made whole, that's possible just to be talking about the outside of the man. He's been cured. He's been healed. But sin, that's not the outside of a man. That's the inside of a man. Amen? And the word of God said, sin no more, lest the worst thing come upon thee. The man departed and told the Jews it was Jesus which had made him whole. I don't believe there was malice in this. I believe he was just not ashamed. He found out who did it for him, and he wanted them to know. Amen? He wasn't ashamed that Jesus had done it for him. I'll not be dogmatic, beloved, but I believe with all my heart this man met the Lord. Look at verse number 16, and let's talk just for a few moments about this persecution. The Bible said, and therefore did the Jews persecute Jesus, and they sought to slay him, because he had done these things on the Sabbath day. But Jesus answered them and said, my Father worketh hitherto, and I work. Therefore the Jews sought the more to kill him, because he not only had broken the Sabbath, but said also that God was his Father, making himself equal with God. I had a conversation one time with a Jehovah's Witness. They brought out the song where it says, and God became flesh and was given for me. They brought up that song. Of course, they don't believe that. Amen? And they don't believe the Bible teaches that. Let me ask you a question. What's going on right here? Not only right here, but the Bible said, turn with me. Let me see if I can find that passage of Scripture. I believe, let me think about it just for a moment. Oh, he humbled himself, became obedient unto death. Philippians? I think that's Philippians. Let's look there just a moment. I'll show you what I mean. Ephesians. Let's look at it right here. Philippians chapter number 2. The Word of God said here in verse number 5, let this mind be in you which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. Now wait a minute, I can understand that, can't you? In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him. Without him was not anything made that was made. The Word became flesh, dwelt among us. We beheld his glory, the glories of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Let me tell you something, the Jews hated the thought that Jesus had made himself equal with God. Let me just say this. It was just the truth. And they couldn't handle the truth. That Jesus is much God as the Father is God and the Holy Ghost is God. Amen? It's not right to preach a Jesus-only doctrine or a Father-only doctrine or a Spirit-only doctrine. God in three persons. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, one God, but a triune God. I've explained it like this before. When somebody looks up here, somebody says, how many men do you see? Don't you be a smart aleck and say 2.5. Amen? But you see one man, yet he's body, he's soul, and he's spirit. But it's just one man. Are you following me tonight? The Jews hated Jesus because he declared himself to be equal with God. The Bible said he made himself of no reputation, took upon him the form of a servant, was made in the likeness of men, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. They hated him. The house of mercy. One man's getting mercy while another bunch of men are getting mad. Ain't that the way it goes? Amen? Watch what the Bible said here. I'll give you these three things quickly. There's three things that were causing Jesus all this trouble. One was the Sabbath day. Two was that sovereign declaration that he was equal with God. And the third thing was the spiritual deadness among this bunch of Pharisees. They couldn't recognize the truth if it hit them right between the eyes. They were blind, just like you and I were before we come to Christ. The Bible said blindness in part has happened to Israel till the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. Thank God in Jesus' day there were many Jews that believed. In the book of Acts there were many more that believed. But there were many. They knew better. They knew better than Jesus. They knew better than John the Baptist. They thought they did. And so they were dead in their trespasses and their sin. And they would not come to Jesus. I believe this is important tonight. You think about that. D.L. Moody preached a sermon on grace, his first sermon on the grace of God. I want you to listen to this tonight. I hope it'll be a blessing. He said, I remember preaching one night in winter, one of the coldest winters that we had, the winter after the Chicago fire. I don't know what year that fire was in. I didn't look it up. Does anybody know what year the Chicago fire happened? Nobody knows. We could look it up, but I just didn't think to. He said, I'd been studying up on grace, and it was the first time I had spoken of it. And I was just full of this subject. He said, I started out of the house, and he said, I remember the first man I met, I asked him if he knew anything about the grace of God. And I tried to preach to him. This man thought I was crazy. He said, I ran on and met another and finally got up to the meeting. That night I thought I was speaking to a lot of people who felt just like I did about grace. And when I got through, I asked if anyone would like to hear more about grace. Who had any interest, would you stay? He said, I expected that some would have stayed. But what was my mortification to see the whole audience rose up and went away. They hadn't any interest in grace. They didn't want to learn anything about grace. He said, I put my coat and my hat on and I was going out of the hall when I saw a poor fellow at the back of the furnace crying. He said, I want to hear about the grace of God. Moody said to him, you're the man I want then. Yes, the poor fellow said, you said in your sermon that it was free. And I want you to tell me something about it. Well, I got to talking to him. Let me just break in right here just a minute. Remember what we said about individuals? Glory to God, Moody's preaching to a crowd. Jesus got one individual, Nicodemus, one individual with the woman at the well, and one more individual right here at the pool of Bethesda. And here's Moody preaching the grace of God to a crowd. Anybody like to stay and hear more about grace? They all went out except one man. He said, you said in your sermon it was free. And I want you to tell me something about it. Well, he said, I got to talking to him. And he told me a pitiful story. He had drank away $20,000. His home had been broken up. And his wife and his children had left him. I spoke to him, and it was not long before we were down together praying. That night, I got him a night's lodging in the Bethel, and the next day, we got him on his feet. And when I went to Europe, he was one of the most earnest workers that we had. He was just a partaker of grace. He believed that the peace of God was sufficient for him, and he took God at his word. And he was a saved man. How many believe tonight that this congregation is a product of the grace of God? I know this preacher is a product of the grace of God. Here in this story in the Bible, God wants us to believe, beloved, listen, that he can change lives. Something you say, preacher, it's been going on a long time. I know this man that's been lost a long time. You think that matters to God? No, sir. In a moment of time, God can change that man's life. I appreciate you being here tonight. I appreciate the house of mercy that's being portrayed here at the pool of Bethesda. Someone said this years ago, And I think it's good if you could think about it this way. I believe God wants his churches to be a spiritual hospital, to be a place where the wounded can get help. Say amen. Where those, beloved, that are dying in their sin can receive everlasting life and be raised up out of the muck, up out of the mire, to walk with God the rest of their days. Jesus told this man to go and sin no more, lest the worst thing come upon thee. I believe this man went everywhere telling the story, how that he laid there waiting on the water, but it wasn't the water really that he needed, it was the Savior. The woman came to the well. She came for water, but what she really needed was a Savior. Nicodemus came by night. I don't know what brought him exactly, other than to say this. I'll say this. You can mark this down. The Spirit of God brought him. Amen. It was the Spirit of God that brought him. So that down through the years, pastor after pastor, evangelist after evangelist, soul winner after soul winner could tell the world, you must be born again. Your religion's not enough. You need a relationship with the Lord Jesus. Amen. For God so loved the world, right there in the context of Nicodemus, that he gave his only begotten Son. God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth not is condemned already. He that believeth is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already because he's not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. How many is glad God still has a pool? Amen. Still has a house of mercy. Someone said one time that justice called, but mercy answered. What we deserved was justice, but thank God, mercy answered that door. Let's pray together. Father, thank you tonight for our precious people. I pray, dear God, tonight that you would just help us to, Lord, when we look at these stories in the Bible, Lord, to believe them, to take you at your word. Encourage our faith. Lord, there are people here tonight that's been praying about different things for years and years, and it's not yet come to pass. God, help them not to give up. Help them to know, Lord, that you know all about it. Help them, Lord, to be faithful. Lord, just to keep on asking, keep on knocking, keep on seeking till you answer that prayer. Lord, we love you. Thank you for loving us. Thank you, Lord, that when I deserved justice, mercy came my way. The grace of God came my way. Thank you, Lord, for the story about D.L. Moody and the man, Lord, that had been a drunkard, that had wasted his living, that had lost his family. But yet, Lord, you came by and showed mercy on him. Thank you, Father, that you're still saving sinners, still calling men and women, boys and girls, out of the muck, out of the mire, by the grace of God. Lord, we love you. Thank you for what you're doing. I pray, Lord, tonight, Lord, the Wednesday Warriors on one side, the youth on the other side, and no doubt, our Father, there are some that have not yet come to Calvary. We pray, Lord, you'd work in their hearts, work in their lives. God will give you glory. In Jesus' name, amen.